Good morning. In the adult class this morning, we were talking about the importance of being humble. And fortunately, I have my family to help me with that. My wife was commenting to my daughter, the attendance was a little lower than usual this morning, to which my daughter replied, well, word must have got out that Dad was preaching. I'm sure, gathered from the Bible scriptures reading this morning, be talking about David and Goliath. Of course, if you grew up in church as a kid, I'm sure the story of David and Goliath is very familiar to you. And it seems to be one of those stories that, for a variety of reasons, you know, gets taught in the kids' classes and, you know, acted out during VBS. And there's even been, you know, movies that have depicted the fight between David and Goliath. But as I thought about it, I honestly couldn't remember, you know, hearing a Sunday morning sermon about David and Goliath. I'm sure there's been some, but I don't know if it's just maybe because, you know, it's seen as a kid's story, but, you know, I couldn't recall hearing a sermon on that, which is really a shame, because there's definitely, you know, some good lessons to be learned from this story that are applicable to us today. The story of David and Goliath is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And just to kind of quickly summarize the story, of course, you have the Philistine army and the Israel's army lined up to do battle. They had a valley in between them, and Goliath, the Philistine champion, would come out every morning and would challenge the army of Israel. You know, he said, you know, just send out, you know, one of your champions. No reason for all of us to fight. You know, if you win, you will be your servants, but if I win, you'll be our servants. But of course, no one from the Israeli army came out, because as we read in the scripture reading this morning, they were very afraid of Goliath. In the meantime, you know, David is bringing food to his brothers. His three oldest brothers were in the army. And of course, he hears Goliath's challenge, and he starts questioning, you know, why no one has, you know, gone out to meet him. And kind of word gets around to Saul about this, and Saul calls David to him, and at first Saul's like, well, you can't go out and fight Goliath, you know, you're just a youth. But then David explains to him how, you know, when he had watched his father's sheep, how he had killed, you know, lions and bears, and that, you know, said, you know, surely God, you know, the same God that protected me from these lions and bears will help me to defeat the Philistine. Of course, you know, Saul tries to give him his armor, but, you know, it doesn't really fit. David's not used to it, So he goes, finds himself five smooth stones, and he gets the stones, a sling, and a staff, and he faces Goliath with just that. Of course, they come together. You know, Goliath insults him, and then you just heard David's response in the scripture reading. Of course, you know, David ends up, you know, putting a stone in the Goliath's head. Goliath topples over. David runs up, you know, cuts his head off with the sword. The Philistine army runs off, and Israel's army chases after him. So what lessons can we learn from this story today? Well, needless to say, I think there's many lessons that we can learn, kind of what I'd call, multi-layered lessons. You know, if you look at it, what I would call the 30,000-foot view, like, you know, we may say in the Air Force sometimes, it's really all about, you know, David's faith in God. But for today's lesson, I want to kind of maybe take it down to what I'd call the 10,000-foot view, and say we need to be able to overcome our fears. You know, after all, if you look at the entire army of Israel, you know, I'm sure there had to be at least some of them soldiers, you know, hopefully the majority of them, that had a certain amount of faith in God. But yet they let their fear override that faith. And I think, you know, we often see this in the world today. And I think, you know, if we were, you know, being honest, we would see that this happens on a regular basis. So how does fear affect our lives? Well, it's obviously that, you know, affects people differently, affects us in a lot of different ways. You know, if you tried to write down all the different ways fear could affect a person's life, you know, you'd probably end up, you know, with thousands of different things. But it just so happens there's a, you know, popular song out on Christian radio today, and the title of it is Fear is a Liar. And I just thought I would, you know, look at some of the examples that it gives. It's speaking of what fear can do. It refers to fear as a he in these verses, or in these lyrics. It goes on to say, he told you you're not good enough. He told you you're not right. He told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. He told you you're not worthy. He told you you're not loved. He told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. He told you you were troubled, that you'll forever be alone. He told that you should run away, you'll never find a home. He told you that you were dirty and you should be ashamed. He told you that you could be the one that grace could never change. And then the chorus goes on to say, He will take away your breath, He will stop you in your steps, He will rob you of your rest, and He will steal your happiness. Of course, once again, this just kind of scratched the surface, you know, on what, the adverse effects that fear can have in our lives. So the question is, you know, how do we overcome these fears? Well, I have five suggestions for you today. And you may ask, well, why five? I said, well, you know, David picked up five stones, so I figured, hey, if, you know, five stones is good enough for David, you know, good enough for me, right? So stone number one is know your value. In Matthew 10, verses 29 and 31, we read, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You know, if we focus on how valuable we are to the Lord, you know, that will go a long way and help us to overcome our fears. You know, earlier, you know, this morning, you know, we partook of the Lord's Supper, and it, you know, we were reminded, you know, of God's, you know, how much God values us by His willingness to, you know, send His, you know, Son down to the earth. And just as importantly, you know, how that Jesus was, you know, willing, you know, Jesus was a willing sacrifice for us. You know, just those things alone, you know, give us a great idea of how valuable we are to the Lord. Of course, you know, unfortunately the world, you know, has a way of, you know, tearing us down. You know, and we tend to forget about how valuable we are to the Lord. But, you know, if we can maintain that focus, you know, about how our value to the Lord, it will help us to overcome our fears. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 said, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who are of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. You know, if I was to guess, you know, what the number one fear that many people fall victim to, it would be this, you know, fearing what other people think. You know, or in a broader scope, you know, going against what, you know, society considers normal. So what can we do to combat this? Well, one suggestion would be, brings us to stone number two, and that is to refocus our fear on where it really should be. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, we read, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then in Hebrews 13 and 6 we're told, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? No matter what we do, you know, no matter how healthy we eat or how much we exercise, you know, our life here on earth is temporary. So we need to remind ourselves, you know, should we, you know, spend our limited time here on earth, you know, being fearful of you know, those who, in a worst case scenario, you know, could possibly put us to physical death, which of course we're going to experience anyway, or rather, should we fear the Lord our God, who will determine, you know, where we spend our eternity? Moving on to stone number three, listen to the Spirit. In John 14, verses 25 through 27, we read, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you a remembrance of all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then 2 Timothy 1 and 7 we read, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, when it comes to the Spirit, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, it's a subject that, you know, it seems like a lot of people have a hard time, you know, completely understanding. And I certainly, you know, don't consider myself an expert on the subject. But I do believe it's important that we, you know, consistently strive to study the Word of God. You know, as I just read in John 14, you know, the apostles were told that the Holy Spirit will teach them and give them a remembrance of the things that Jesus taught them. Now, needless to say, you know, we didn't have the benefit of being, you know, taught by Jesus in person. But, you know, we do have the inspired, you know, recordings of his teachings, you know, that we find in the New Testament. I believe if, you know, we study those teachings, you know, it will lead us to, you know, be more in tune with the Spirit, you know. After all, we're told the Spirit, you know, will help us to remember and to understand. And since the Spirit is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, it can help us to overcome our fears and help us to be more willing, you know, to fight those Goliaths that we face in the world today. And for stone number four, I have love. Now, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, we read, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Well, it should surprise no one that, you know, love plays a key role in overcoming our fears. You know, as I just read in 1 John, you know, there is no fear in love, but, you know, perfect love casts out fear. You know, it doesn't get much clearer than that. Matter of fact, the last time I presented a lesson here on Sunday morning, it was on the subject of love. And even though, you know, the entire lesson was on love, I still feel like I really only scratched the surface because, you know, love encompasses, you know, so much of you know, what we do and as Christians. So I'll just say that, you know, if we get to the point where we can, you know, truly understand and appreciate, you know, God's perfect love for us, then it goes without saying that we have nothing to fear. And last but not least, stone number five is faith. You know, as was alluded to earlier, you know, it was David's, you know, great faith in God that gave him the confidence to know that he had no reason to fear Goliath. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26 we read, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' And in Mark 4 and 40, 'But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 25, 'But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be for he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.' And then in Romans 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Well, as you can see from these verses, you know, fear and a lack of faith, you know, are linked. You know, Hebrews 1 and 11 were told that, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Which is, you know, certainly a good starting point when it comes to faith, but much like the subject of love, you know, faith is very broad and far-reaching. So I'll just, you know, conclude by saying that, you know, as we mature as Christians, you know, if we're continually, you know, striving to obey God, you know, to do His will, you know, be more loving and Christ-like as we grow closer to Him. You know, if we're doing these things, our faith, you know, will increase, and as it increases, we'll be much better equipped, you know, to overcome those fears that may have, you know, gotten in our way in the past. Now, of course, there are, you know, other, you know, stones out there that would help us to overcome our fears. But it's my hope and prayer that, you know, the lesson I presented today will give you some food for thought, you know, when it comes to our battle against fears and those fears that often hinder us from, you know, being better servants of God and of one another. And just, you know, one final thought before I wrap things up. Earlier this week, I'd emailed someone and mentioned to him that I was doing a lesson talking about David and Goliath. And they had replied and said that, you know, that had always been one of their favorite stories, and they went on to say that, matter of fact, you know, they think that's why they always cheer for the underdog, is because of the story of David and Goliath. And, which, you know, makes sense, because, you know, even out there in the world, you know, the David and Goliath is kind of synonymous with, you know, the underdog overcoming the great odds. But, you know, as I got to thinking about it, you know, if you looked at it through, you know, a spiritual lens, you know, David wasn't an underdog at all. You know, because you think about what was Goliath relying on? He was relying on his, you know, maybe his size, his strength, his weapons, his skills. David, on the other hand, I mean, he wasn't really relying on his, you know, prowess with the sling. He was relying on God. And therefore, you know, God, you know, I mean, you couldn't even classify Goliath as an underdog, because to be an underdog, you at least have to have a little bit of chance. But, you know, in Goliath's case, you know, he was essentially going up against God, so, you know, his chances were slim and none, and Slim went home, right? So, you know, just, you know, something to think about, you know, the next time that you're facing, you know, one of your Goliaths out there in the world. Well, this concludes my lesson for today. If there's anyone who might have any needs or prayer requests that they'd like to be made known, or perhaps through the study of God's Word, you have determined that, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to immerse yourself in baptism and follow follow Jesus and God and become a Christian. We offer this time for you to come forward and make any needs known as we stand and sing the invitation song.